Good to have you.
Appreciate it.
It indeed is a blessing to be among y'all. I've had y'all on my mind quite some time, and it just seemed like it would ever get here that I could get here. You know, the time, I don't know, the older I get, seems like time speeded up, but I've been looking so forward to being here at Happy Creek Church. It is like it ever get here, you know, just like it. But the Lord has truly blessed us to get here safely. We've had a great time coming and enjoying ourselves. Often thought about a lot of things when I travel. I have time just to kind of sit and think about things that you don't normally think about. When you're home or working or around your house, you seem to have distractions, but I do my best thinking when I'm driving. And I enjoy driving and thinking. And I pretty well stay on the road most of the time. I'll ease over sometimes, and you get them rumble strips will bring you right back. But it's wonderful that I'm able to travel, and it's wonderful that I can come to a place like this. And thank you all for even having me here and being among you. It's a blessing just to come and be among you. I often thought about what's going on in the land today, and you think about the churches of the land and what's going on. And, you know, a God-called minister, I feel like the Lord's called me. I feel so short of the duty and responsibility that I cannot even come close to fulfilling the role that I was called to do. I seem so inadequate and all the shortcomings, but that's Satan talking. Man cannot preach without God.
Amen.
God has got to be in a manner for a man to preach. Now, I can give you a bunch of lies and a bunch of fables and false tales, but the Bible tells you about those things, what to do with them. But the preaching of the gospel has to be part of God. Not only that, the ability to preach is the ability that only God gives. But for you to hear the gospel, it's a gift of God that you can even hear the gospel.
Right.
So you can have the best preacher in the world, but no ears, and it can't be heard.
Amen.
So y'all pray for me as I try to go into Isaiah here. Isaiah is one of my most favorite books in the Bible, and I think I'll probably preach in it more than anything else. And I said, I've kind of come to the conclusion, there's Isaiah is about the whole Bible condensed. So in this modern day, we want everything condensed down so fast. Well, I can tell you right now, if you really want to get a good reading on the Bible, just read Isaiah. If you can't take time to read the whole book, the whole Bible, just read Isaiah. There's a good lesson in Isaiah. You can pretty well pick up everything the Lord meant in Isaiah. He covers everything very well. I'm going to read in chapter 9, it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as it was in her vexation when she first lightly affected the land of Zebedee and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. For the people walked in darkness, have not seen a great light. They dwell in the land of shadow of death. Upon them the light shine." You know, I'm amazed sometimes here how the people, it seems like the land, this country, that if you look at what goes on in Hollywood and the TVs and the movies and everything seems to be dark and drear. I'm wondering, you know, if we're not getting so far away from God that everything looks dark and drear. I personally don't feel that way. I don't like the way Hollywood predicts the future, because we know something that they don't know. We understand something that they don't know. All they have is doom and gloom. All they have is what, you know, what's the next thing to worry about? What's the next thing that's going to be on our mind? What's the next thing that's going to take us down? Because that's exactly where Satan wants you. When you're in a worry mode, you're in a mode that you're susceptible for Satan to move in. God said, "Let there be light," and He took care of everything. We understand that even from the very foundation of the world, God was in charge and took care of everything. Well, that should be a peace enough for you in your life, realizing that God, from the very beginning, has taken care of everything, your eternal salvation. Now, what he's talking about is most people in the land today don't see the mercy, the truth that God has. Most people in the land today go about trying to make their own mercy and their own truth and have control of it in their way. They want things to work out. He said, the people there, they have seen this great light. You know, y'all have seen something, a light. Y'all have seen something. And the light, most of the time, when it's pitch dark and there's no light, you have nowhere to go. But when you see the light, when you see a light, even if you're in the wasteland or wilderness, and you see this light, you start moving toward this light. That's exactly what God wants you to do, is to move toward Him. And not move toward the darkness. God said, you know, it's a great light. There is a multitude of nations. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy of harvest, and the men rejoice when divides the spoil. You know, the population is growing, and this planet seems to be getting overpopulated. We have a fear of that. But there's no joy anymore. You know, there's no, we have lost the joy of living in our land. And I don't know about you, I worry, and I shouldn't worry about it, because I understand I can't change anything. The only thing I can do is what Brother Ralph did just a few minutes ago, is get on my knees and pray. That's all the power that I have. That's all the power that you have, is praying power. And you have to ask God. You know, a lot of times God says you have not because you ask not. You know, we forget sometimes to even ask. We forget to even ask God those things that we may need or you may need. It says, you know, so the joy is not being increased. Matter of fact, I think that the way you see most people today, the way they walk around, they act like, you know, that they don't know you. There's no happiness anywhere. You know, everybody is you know, going to, you know, as hard as they can to get what they can, and they won't stop and realize what they have. God has blessed us so much just to have a building like this. What a blessing that is. There are people in this world that don't even have a building to come into, but yet we're blessed to have a building. You know, we're blessed to have a place. You know, is this place holy or not? You know, we set it aside for a place that we can meet, hoping that God's going to come in and bless us with it being holy. But other than that, it's just a building. It's just sticks and stones and put up. It's a place. Well, we set it aside for me to worship God. Well, when you do that, you have taken on a huge responsibility, because now this is a place that you're going to set aside, that you're going to keep. And to keep it holy and without blemish, so it'll be here for the next generation. You know, where's our marks? Our water marks that we're leaving, you know. Our forefathers before us, they left some high marks. You know, the churches were established all through this land, and yet now you read about them going away, closing the doors, shutting down. Is it something that we're doing? Is it something that God is doing? Or is it something that we need to be doing? We need to be about God's work. You know, and I've said this before, I cannot do God's work. You can't do God's work. God does His work. He takes care of His work. But He's also called you out of a wasteland wilderness. He's given you a little light to shine on, and He's given you an understanding of something that's so wonderful and so beautiful that the world today doesn't see what you have. And you have to truly, tooth and nail, fight for it. Because God said, you're going to put on the whole armor. He didn't tell you that you're just going to put on part of the armor. This is something that you're going to have to fight for, tooth and nail. Because I guarantee you, we have an enemy that's waiting to devour this little building. We have a great enemy that's willing to take away any pleasure that you may have in this place. So it's a battle you're in. But God said right here, for thou hast broken the yoke of this burden and the staff of the shoulders of the rod of the oppressors in the day of evil. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. for the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. This is God telling us he has sent us, unto us a child is born. Unto us a Savior is given. Unto us, and he is going to give you, he tells you right there, he's the wonderful, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the decrees of his government shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon the king, to order, establish the judgment with justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of the host will perform this. It was done by God. God has given us something wonderful and beautiful. A child. And the government, you know, this is not Brother Gary's church. This is not Brother Robert's church. This is God's church. And the leader of our church is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how we're going to follow. Don't follow men. Because if you start following men, you're going to go astray.
Amen.
But follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a Virgin Mary, and he was here some 33 odd years. You know, that's a short time when you really think about 33 odd years. Because the Bible talks about when he was born, and it talks when he was a child around 10 or 12 years old. But then about 30 years old, then you're really coming narrowing it down to 3.5 years. Some 3.5 years is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how wonderful is that? That in 3.5 years, the gospel of Jesus Christ was set before us, and we're to live, even if we live to be 100 years old, we live 100 years old in the following the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Robert, you can't heal the sick. Right? No, I can't do that. I can't do Jesus Christ did that. I can't do that. But I tell you what I can do. I can walk meekly in this world, and I can keep my eyes focused on him, and I realize where my power comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ. It says, you know, the Lord, he will perform this. You know, it says, but you know, we have these enemies. We have this battle. You know, I often wondered sometimes, so I think about it a lot. I don't know about you how it is with you, but I wonder, so why is it so hard? You know, I believe. You know, now Lord help my unbelief, because there's got to be some unbelief there because I believe. But yet I wonder. It's not as easy as I thought it would be. Why do you think he wanted you to put on armor? It's not going to be easy. Salvation is very easy by the grace of God. That's salvation. That's took care of. That's the biggest burden that you have in your life is understanding grace and how salvation is free. That's the biggest thing you got to worry about. God took care of that. So it's done. So now you got to make yourself realize that you have something done for you that can't be overturned, can't be taken away. It is set by God from the very beginning of the world. Salvation. So eternal salvation is yours. It's yours to have. It's yours to keep. Now why can I hang on to it on this side of the grave? Why do I have those moments when I question? Why do I have those times when I realize, you know, how could this be? Why would God choose such a thing as me? I mean, he's told me the best thing I can do, that my work, the best works I can do are filthy rags. That's the best I can do. But yet, God called me out. He called you out to understand something, you know. If you can gather up the least little bit of it. Well, old Paul, I don't know nothing except he was crucified, dead, and buried on the third day he rose. That's all I know. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to hang on to. Because I realize that took place, secured my salvation. So I'm going to hang on to that. But yet I'm going to fight a battle. It said the Lord has set up adversities of reasons against him and joined his enemies together. The Syrians before, the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. You know, we today, if you just think about it today, and I'll just use today, Syria, you know, what's going on in Syria today. You can worry about what's going on in Syria. The Syrians are before us. The Philistines are behind us. All that's going on before You can let what happened behind you ruin what's going to happen before you. Or you can worry about the Philistines or the Syrians in front of you. You know, you can't worry about tomorrow. You can't worry about last week. God told me, told you in His Word right here, I don't remember your sins anymore. He said, I take them away and I don't remember anymore. So why do you want to remember them? And why do you want to let them come back and take away, the Philistines come back and take away your joy? Why do you want to do that? Because Satan wants to worm his way in. He wants you to feel unsecure, unsafe. Are you secure in your belief in Jesus Christ? I am today, but that don't mean I will be tomorrow because I have weak point. Because I'm Adam by nature. And we stumble and we fall over and over again. But it says right here, but his hand is stretched out still. He realizes that we're going to fall. But he's right there to pick you up. How many times in your life, how many times can you count that you fell short of the mark and he picked you up? And he carried you through? How many times have you realized when things seem so black and that there's just no way that I'm going to get through this? There's just no way that I can't do it. I've done everything. I've read books, you know, on what I should be doing. I go to my friends, you know, and I talk to them. You know, I watch TV and I listen to all these educated people on TV and I see no light. And all of a sudden, you get down on your knees and that hand is right there for you. Your situation doesn't change at all, but that hand is laying there. So you get up and you go on, but his hand is stretched out still. Doesn't matter what's before you. Doesn't matter what you come through. His hand is there always, waiting to pick you up. You know, a lot of times people think that God's just going to do it all. But his hand is there for you. But you can grab it or not. And I tell people this a lot of times. I say, well, that don't seem right. I said, you can go to church or you can stay home. You can go listen to the preacher preach or you can stay home. You can do whatever you want to. It's there for you. It's free. It's there always. But if you want that hand, if you want that up, you know, I've had people tell me, well, I can read my Bible at home and I can talk with God at home. Sure you can. Sure you can. That's what I love about God. I can talk with Him when I'm driving down the highway. And He is how wonderful that is. But when you're down and out and you're in need, and you're in that spot, His hand is there. You come. And you know this army right here. This army. We have an army right here. This army right here will pick you up. And carry you through. God says, my hand is stretched out. For the people turned not unto him that smiting them. Neither did they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel the head, the tail, the branch, the rush. And one day, the ancient, the horrible is the head. The prophets and the teachers of the lies is the tail. For the leaders of the people cause them to error, and they are led from them or destroyed. He said, you know, I'm amazed sometimes at who we go for advice when God has written right here, has given us instructions right here on everything in our life. You know, but we'll go all over looking for advice on what we should do, you know. And we don't stop for the moment and realize who we need to go to. You know, I've been through some hard times in my life, and I'm sure y'all have. And you just wonder sometimes. But when it gets to that dark, you know, when we're talking about in the light, in the very beginning, when it gets to that darkness and you don't know where to go, and you see that little bit of light, I call it hope. There's my hope when I can see that little light over there. And I know I have a little hope. And that changes my whole attitude. Not only that, my whole attitude changes when I get on my knees to pray. And a lot of times I'm like everybody else. I'm too busy. I admit it. I'm too busy. I forget to stop what I'm doing and thank God for a blessing. Or thank God in the morning that I even woke up for another day that I was able to go out. We forget, but his he doesn't. His hand is stretched out still. It's, you know, it's there. It's the most constant thing in your life. Preachers come and go, but God is always, ever and ever. Therefore, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they are led of them are destroyed. You know, in Matthew, I think the verse that says, "Let the blind lead the blind." You know, if you want to go off and follow, you know, something, you know, go, you know, let the blind lead the blind. But God said, "Turn to me. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Come unto me." That's something that you that's a commandment to get up and come. It didn't say lay in your bed or sit on your couch. It said come. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Not only that, he said, my burden is light. It's easy. You know, how in the world, what more could be more easier than the grace of the Almighty God? By the grace of God, you are saved. What could be any easier than that? But yet mankind wants to put conditions on God's grace. It just can't be this easy, Brother Gary. It just can't. There's got to be more to it. You know, there's just got to be more to it than this grace business. And people look at you and say, I believe in grace and I believe in this, I believe in that, you know, but you got to do something. No, you don't. No, you don't. All that coming unto me, that's for your satisfaction now. That's for you.
Amen.
To get up and come. Because eternal salvation is took care of.
Amen.
Earthly salvation is something that you got to gather up. And the more I gather it up, by going to church, reading my Bible. That's where I gather up this earthly salvation, because I know if I get far away from the reading of God's Word, or I don't hear an old preacher preach God the gospel of Jesus Christ, how quickly can you turn? It's just like I tell people, you can go to church and be a good church member for years and years and years. If you meet all four Sundays and be there every four Sundays, and you miss one or two, well then it's easy to miss another one. And then the next thing you know, you miss three or four, you know, or you know, next thing you know, well, I'll go when I need to go, you know. It's just, God says, come. He says, come. He wants an effort. He wants an effort from you. You know, a lot of people forget about that. Don't think I'm talking works for eternal salvation. I'm not doing that. But I'm talking about a job we got to do. Because if you read your Bible and you study your Bible and you read and understand, you realize we are in a battle. We are in a war. We have someone to fight daily. I don't know about you, but he worries me all the time. Especially when I want to travel somewhere and I start leaving out and I got a 300-400 miles to drive. I said he can worry me for the first 100-150 miles because that's close enough to turn around. But then I think after a guess, it says when you're done going 200 miles, leave him alone. He's going to go on anyhow. We'll worry when he gets there, you know. But that's the way he works. He says, you know, he says right here, he says, the Lord shall have no joy in the young man, neither shall have mercy on the fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speak folly. For all this anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. I love it. I love it. It doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people like to confess that they understand the Word of God, that they're an authority on the Word of God. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not an authority on the Word of God. The only thing I got, God give to me. And I'm simple-minded enough to realize that it was from God that he opened me up and he gave me something. I'm just that simple-minded. So I'm not an authority on God's Word here except what he gives me. And what he gives me, I'm going to give it to you if it's of God. And if it's part of what God wants you to hear, you will hear it. He said, but, you know, let's not be hypocrites here. You know, let's not be hypocrites, you know, or evildoers. You know, we do a pretty good job of that. but his hand is stretched out still. He's still there for you. And I used to worry. I don't know about you brethren over here, but when I first started preaching, Brother Gary, I thought I'd just go out and preach the whole world and everybody hear what I got to say. And everybody be happy and everybody be, you know, can't wait to hear it again. It don't work that way. I mean, you can get disillusioned so much standing right here in any place I know of. But his hand is stretched out still. He's there. He's with you. He carries you. He moves you. He molds you. He draws you out. He shows you the way. And all he says is, come. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things that we need to learn in life. Is we need to come unto him and we need to get that rest.
Amen.
Because I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, there's nothing sweeter than understanding that God has taken a situation in your life and handled it.
Yeah.
Totally handled it. And you're sitting back, shaking your head, thinking, oh my God, I couldn't have done anything at all but sit here and thank God for the mercy that he just showed me. I thank you for your kind attention.
Amazing grace, how sweet that saved a wretch like me.
Baptist Church, Danny. Thankful to have you here, Brother Danny. You're way past overdue.
This watch is working.
Is it working?
The watch is working. I see the minute hand moving.
Okay. Don't look at it too much.
Makes it reminds me of it reminds me of a story I heard about a little boy who went with his grandfather to church, and they sat on the front. Well, the preacher got up to preach and he got him a drink of water like I did, and little boy punched his grandfather and said, what's he doing? He said, well, he's getting him a drink, he's getting ready to preach. And then he took his watch off and the little boy said, what's he doing now? What's that mean? Granddad said, not a thing.
Yeah.
It is good to be here.
Yeah.
Brother Gary, thank you for the invitation and Happy Creek Church. I've missed you. I've been going other places, you know, in God's providence. Sometimes he directs us another way.
Amen.
But I'm glad that I had the freedom to come and to be with you tonight. I appreciate the humble prayer that went before us, a sweet prayer, and the preaching of Brother Robert. A lot of things come through my mind while he was preaching, and you know, that's what preaching should do. It should stir
Amen.
Up our
Amen.
Pure mind by way of remembrance, and that we're made to think upon what is being said to us from God's Word. Now, I like to feel the Spirit of God in my heart, but we got to learn also.
Amen.
And we come to church to learn.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
You know, you don't come just to be seen, and the fellowship is wonderful, but we come to church to learn.
Amen.
And by learning and applying what we have learned in our life, we grow in grace and knowledge
Amen.
Of the Lord Jesus. And I desire to grow in grace and knowledge. And I want God's people to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we do that every day. We should do it every day. It's a continued thing. It's a continued progress in our life. That is, we never get to the point that we reach the pinnacle, because there's always something else to learn.
Amen.
In God's Word. So you pray for me as I stand before you, that God may bless me to bring to you and feed your soul.
Yes, ma'am.
Jesus made this statement. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So there's something that Jesus came not to do.
Right.
Not to call the righteous, but sinners,
yes,
to repentance. Now, I think he's talking about the self-righteous,
yes,
there.
He is.
Are those that feel themselves to be sufficient in themselves. But there's really not anybody on earth that is sufficient within themselves. There's just some people think they are. But he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Those that are sick will seek out a physician. And those that are sin sick will seek out the great physician. And the great physician has healing for them. I want to begin this evening in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully.
Amen.
And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now in this little narrative we find something very powerful, very interesting. You know, Jesus didn't do anything by accident. He didn't go anywhere not knowing why he went. Everywhere he went, he knew why he was going.
Amen.
He knew what he would find before he got there.
Amen.
Because he is omniscient.
Right.
That is, he knows everything. He sees everything. Man doesn't teach him anything. He knows it all.
That's right.
Some people think they know it all, but they don't know anything. But the Lord knows everything. His understanding is infinite. That means there's no limit to the understanding of the Lord and to the knowledge of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord. The Lord Jesus went many places while he was here in this world. And all the places he went on purpose.
Amen.
It was his meat to do the will of his Father and to finish his work.
Yes.
You see, Jesus had a purpose in doing everything that he did while he was here upon this earth. He visited many people and he made changes in their life. Mm-hmm. You remember, he, in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John, he was weary on his journey and he was at Jacob's well. Well, he knew what was going to happen there.
He
said it that well. He was waiting for that woman to come. He knew her before she came.
Amen.
He knew she was coming.
Yeah.
And we know that story. He went by the seaside and he called Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and he told them to rise up and follow me. They dropped their nets. They rose up and followed him. He went to the receipt of custom to a man by the name of Levi, who was a tax collector. He went there on purpose.
Yes, he did.
Who would have thought Jesus would have went to the IRS to call a person?
Yeah.
But he did. He called Levi, which is Matthew, made him an apostle. You see, Jesus did things that we would not have done.
Amen, brother.
Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho.
Yeah.
And behold, there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. Well, Zacchaeus, it tells us, was a publican. That means he was an official.
Right.
He was a tax collector.
Right.
And he was rich. Tells us that he was rich. Now, how did he get rich? Well, he got rich by doing things he shouldn't have done in collecting those taxes.
Right.
Things hadn't changed much. The IRS, have it? He's rich. But he sought to see Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I want to make emphasis on this just for a little while.
Absolutely.
He sought to see Jesus. Now, some would tell us, well, this was just out of curiosity. But I believe that there was a sincere desire in his soul to see Jesus. He'd heard about him. And now he's wanting to see him, but he can't see him because he's short, like I am. He can't see him because of the throng of people that pressed around the Son of God, around the Savior. And so he climbs up a tree, a sycamore tree. Now, anybody that has a sincere desire in their heart to see Jesus, I believe that the Lord has already visited their soul.
Amen.
By
Amen.
His grace.
Amen.
Because there's no natural man that seeketh after God. He does not know God. He cares nothing about God. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't care anything about spiritual things. He cares nothing about spiritual matters.
Amen.
But he wanted to see Jesus.
Yes.
And anybody that truly in their soul wants to see Jesus, I believe, is a child of God.
Amen.
I believe that they have been quickened and called by the Spirit of God. Now, regeneration is spontaneous and immediate. That is, it happens now.
Amen.
It happens instantly.
Amen.
Now, God, it doesn't take him all day to regenerate a person.
No.
Just like that. No. He regenerates, and it's subconscious, because I don't think that really any of us know exactly and precisely when we were quickened by the Spirit. I don't.
No.
Now, if I remember after feeling the burden, I remember seeking after God and a thirst for God and a hunger for God. But I believe I was already born of God. I was already quickened of God. This man, I believe, had been quickened.
Amen.
born of God. He wanted to see Jesus. So he climbs up a sycamore tree. Here's a man up a tree.
Yeah,
he is. He wants to see Jesus. He couldn't see him. He's short. So he makes an effort. He runs ahead. He climbs up this tree for Jesus is to pass that way. And something very amazing happens. I think that Jesus is being pressed with this throng of people, and when he gets to the tree, he stops and he looks up.
Yeah.
He looks up and he saw him. Well, do you think that Jesus didn't know he was up that tree before he got there? Well, Jesus knew that he is already up the tree.
Amen.
But he stops. Why did he stop? Because Zacchaeus was up there in that tree. And he said, Zacchaeus? Well, now he calls his name. Well, there's nobody that introduced Jesus to Zacchaeus. There's nobody said, well, Zacchaeus ran before you and he's up that tree and his name is Zacchaeus. Jesus knew his name before Zacchaeus knew his name.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Jesus amen. Knew his name before amen. His mother and father named him Zacchaeus.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes,
I do.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, you believe that God knew your name before you were ever named?
Yeah.
God knows all things.
Amen.
There's no surprise to God. He knew you before you ever knew you.
Yeah.
He knew Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus knew who he was. But he stops and calls him by name because he loves him.
Yes.
He loves Zacchaeus. He loved Zacchaeus before the world began. He loved him and he calls him by name. You know, Jesus said he calls his sheep by name.
Amen. Yep.
I believe he called me by name. His grace. Zacchaeus, come down.
Yeah.
Come down. Make haste. Hurry up.
That's right.
Well, Zacchaeus didn't stay up in that tree. He made haste. He came down.
Yes, he did.
For Jesus said, For today I must abide at thy house. I'm coming to your house. Mm. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus. He made haste, came down, and he received him joyfully. Just Zacchaeus embraced him joyfully from his soul, in his heart. This is the Lord. In our experience, you know, as I said, quickening comes immediately, spontaneously, and it's forever.
Amen.
When you're born, you can't be unborn. When you're born again, you have spiritual life, you have eternal life. But repentance.
You're born out of the Spirit.
Repentance is something that we do.
Amen.
You know, I believe that this man is repenting. For he feels godly sorrow.
Absolutely.
He says that he came down and received him joyfully. I believe that Zacchaeus received the Lord joyfully. You know, when you see the Lord in your life and what he is, who he is, it's a joyful reception in our hearts.
Amen,
that Jesus Christ, my Lord, that he stopped and he called me and he blessed me and I embrace him joyfully. Yeah, there is a joy in the heart of a child of God when he sees the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, that's not man given.
No.
That's the Lord giving you that joy in seeing the Lord of what he is and who he is, and he received him joyfully. We received the Lord joyfully when we saw who He was, who He is, what He's done for us. We received Him joyfully in our heart because we had a heart to receive Him. We had a receiver. He received Him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. When those people around Christ, when they saw this, they murmured that He's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. He's a sinner. And Jesus is going to His house to be His guest. And He's going to be there in the presence of that sinner. I'm glad that Jesus is the friend of sinners. He's the friend of sensible sinners. And sensible sinners are the only ones that can really and truly receive Him.
Amen.
Joyfully. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Here are these people murmuring about this. And Zacchaeus stood. And he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord. The half of my goods I give to the poor. You see, he's wanting to make amends now. He sees, I'm a sinner. I've come short.
Right.
I want to make amends. I want to do something.
Right.
I'll give half of my goods to the poor.
Yeah.
In front, and if I've taken anything by false accusations, I'll restore him fourfold. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And he did. He had by false accusation taken.
Yes,
you see, he lived a pretty low life, you know. But God's people are sinners. Yeah. That's the way we were.
Yeah. Rich.
Not just exactly maybe like he did, but we were sinners. Oh, we were sinners, bad trouble.
Bad.
We were undone, filthy. All our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We were sinners. And when I saw myself as a sinner, I mourned and I groaned within myself. You see, when a person is born of God, after he's born of God, he doesn't jump up with joy. Because he sees that I'm a sinner. I am undone. Where he sees Jesus Christ through the gospel, that's where he gets the joy.
Amen.
Then he begins to rejoice because he sees that I'm undone, I'm filthy, and I'm a worm. But when he sees what Jesus and who he is, that's when he's filled with joy. Through God's Word.
Amen.
I'll restore him. I'll do what, Lord, what would you have me to do? And Jesus said unto him, This day of salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, he was a son of Abraham by natural birth. That is, he was a Jew.
Yes.
But I believe he was a son of Abraham in another way. He was a spiritual son by faith.
Amen.
You see, those that be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Amen.
And those that have faith in Jesus Christ are blessed.
Amen.
Did you know that your faith is something that you didn't get? It was given to you. Now, it's yours.
Amen.
It's yours. It's yours personally.
Amen.
He gave it to you.
Amen.
But it's to utilize as you travel here in this life and embrace God, who He is, and the Lord Jesus, who He is and what He's done.
Amen.
Faith embraces Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is a son of Abraham. We are sons of Abraham tonight. Now, we are not natural Jews, but I believe that we are in that way sons of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This day salvation has come to this house.
Yes.
Jesus is right there in that house.
Amen.
He is salvation, isn't He?
Yes.
Somebody says Jesus is a personal Savior. He sure is.
Yeah.
He personally came to you.
Amen.
He personally died upon the cross. And He personally knew every one of His people.
Amen.
Their person.
Yes, he did.
He's a personal Savior.
Yeah.
He loved you.
Amen.
Why did God love you? Why did God love me? Out of all the billions in mankind, why did He love you? Well, I know it seemed good in His sight. I know all that. I know it was His purpose. I know it was in His heart. There was nothing in you.
No.
But there was a reason that God loved who He loved. He does nothing without a reason. I don't know, maybe we'll know when we get to heaven, but if we don't, be all right, we're going to be in heaven. I don't know why. I really don't. And you don't know why, but I'm thankful He did.
Amen, brother.
Aren't you?
Amen.
I'm thankful that I feel that God loves me. There's blessed assurance in our hearts that God loves us. And the assurance comes to us through the word of the Lord and the Holy Comforter that accompanies that word. Salvation was here in this house. Jesus was right here in the house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
He came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yes, He did.
That was His business.
Yeah.
He fulfilled what He came into the world to do.
Yes, He did.
And He sent His word out to us to inform us what He did. Somebody says, we're going to help God out. I was talking to a fellow just this week. Good friend. Good acquaintance. We got talking about theology some way at the tire place. I said, Vinny, I said, did you know that God knew His people before the world began? He looked at me and he said, well, I guess He did. I said, no guess it to him. He did. And I said, did He call His people by His grace? He said, yeah, but you've got to answer that call. I said, well, when did God ask you? I said, when did God ask you if He could call you? He said, well, He sort of stumbled around a while. God didn't ask you when He could call you, when He could give you spiritual life, and when He could bless you. But thank God He did. And we have come to the knowledge of that through His word, through the gospel of His grace. The good news. The gospel is good news.
It's good news.
It's glad tidings to the little child of God who feels his need and wants to see Jesus. If you want to see Jesus, you, my friend, are blessed through the gospel to see who He really is.
Amen, brother.
Who He really is and what He's really done.
Amen.
And you know you don't help Him. You see Jesus in and through His word.
Amen.
Zacchaeus was an outstanding little man, wasn't he? But he was a sinner, saved by God's grace and blessed to come to the understanding that salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
May God bless you with these thoughts.
Number 10. My brother, bless your heart. Thank the Lord. Number 10. Cold water to a thirsty soul. So is good news from a far country. The gospel is just that. Good news. There'll be one more here tonight who believe this truth. And that is why we take up the cross and follow the Lord in baptism. Told us in His word we ought to do. Those who were pricked in the heart by the gospel cried out, what shall we do? And the answer was, repent and be baptized every one of you for the remission of sin. And that isn't to get your sins remitted. It's because of the remission of your sins. There is an answer of a good conscience towards God when we walk in obedience to what the Lord has taught us in His Word. I was thinking about that wonderful account that was preached and both these brethren presented the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That experience